On the other hand, although women may adopt the interests and ideology of men of their class, women as a group cut through all class, male class systems. Now, I quarrel with the notion that women of all classes, in all cultures, and at all times are accorded secondary status. But there's certainly sufficient evidence that this is generally, if not universally, the case. From the advent of civilization, and hence in history proper as distinct from prehistory, the social order has been patriarchal. Does this then make women a caste, a hereditary inferior order? This notion, too, has its uses, as does the related one drawn chiefly from American black experience, which regards women as a minority group. The sense of otherness, which both these ideas convey, is essential to our historical awareness of women as an oppressed social group. And these ideas help us appreciate how femininity is socially formed as an internalization of ascribed inferiority and at the same time as a way of manipulating those who have the authority that women lack. As explanatory concepts, however, as distinguished from descriptive ones, notions of caste and minority group are not productive when applied to women. Why should this majority be a minority? Why is it that members of this particular caste, unlike all other castes, are not of the same rank throughout society? Clearly, the minority psychology of women, like our caste status and quasi-class oppression, has to be traced to the universally distinguishing feature of all women, namely our sex. Any effort to understand women in terms of social categories that obscure this fundamental fact has to fail, but only to make more appropriate concepts available. It was Gerda Lerner, I think, who appropriately laid all such notions to rest. As she put it, quote, "All analogies, class, minority group, caste, approximate the position of women, but fail to define it adequately. Women are a category unto themselves, and adequate analysis of their position in society demands new conceptual tools." In short, women have to be defined as women, as the social opposite, not of a class, a caste, or the opposite of a majority, since we are a majority, but the opposite of a sex, men. And categorization by sex now no longer entails a mothering role and a relation of subordination to men, except as a social role and relation, recognized as such. A good part of the initial excitement in women's studies consisted of just this discovery, that what had been taken as natural was in fact man-made, and in two ways, both as social order and as male description of that order.